Hi, my name is Sarah, hailing from Germany, outside of Heidelberg at the moment. I'm a songwriter and a podcaster. Power Bites isn't a power trip. Think of it like a power bar to encourage you and me and challenge you and me to keep up our race together. Thanks for listening.
Okay, we got a lot to go through today. We're still in Nehemiah. We're going to continue here with the topic, a good work. And then we're going to take we'll start. We're starting chapter 2 of Nehemiah, verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we're in. We're all faced with something that needs a resolve, something that could maybe even use our input, something that could use our leadership, something that could impact somebody else for good or bad. I think we're all faced with this. So let's pray. Lord, show us a good work that you have for us to do in this time. Help us to not remain on our back feet, sort of in fear, sitting on our haunches, embrace, no matter how difficult it is, this is a key thing for me, embrace whatever it is, that good work, no matter how difficult it seems, to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Nehemiah is making no bones about the fact that there's a bad situation in front of him, an overwhelming situation. We are in a bad, so you see the bad situation we're in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach. Sometimes what we need to build is spiritual. That's mostly what things have been about for me. Looking and seeing what it is that needs to be cleaned out. I tend to focus too much on that, but I really, temptations and opposition can really start to make you wonder if you are doing something wrong. And that is not the case, okay? When you embrace a good work and you move forward in that good work, opposition is going to come. It's not a sign that you're doing something wrong, okay? The Lord spoke to me about this morning. I was torn up. I just kept seeking. I wasn't able to do this podcast yet. I really wanted the Lord to meet me. And he was like, stop worrying. And then gave confirmation about, something that I'm struggling with. And something that is such a weight that I want to be finished. A long journey that I just want to end. And staying with it till the end is just really hard. It's really hard. And the opposition toward the end, has gotten worse, not better. When we are on a path to do a good work for the Lord, opposition is a good sign. So here we go. I told them how verse 18. I told them how the hand of God had been favorable to me. So what everyone needs in this leadership that Nehemiah is taking is the reassurance that this is the right path to begin with. When you're trying to decide, and this is something I'm working on, when you're trying to decide what is a good cause and what is not a good cause, you need to first look at the victims. If you pass it by and you don't engage and you don't do the work that's in front of you, are there going to be more victims? Is this something that is undeniably unjust? For a lot of people, a lot of the church is just kind of asleep getting through life. And that's, for them, that's the challenge of the day, just getting up and young moms, for sure. Just getting through the day. But maybe I can push this a little further. In the direction of a good work, and sort of clarify that often what God wants us to get involved with is what He has already equipped us with testimony wise. I struggle with how much to get involved with the vaccine issue. I struggle with how much to get involved with our division in the States, our political divide that is just destructive. How much do I get involved with the issue of racism? And I feel that if these things are before me and they are all valid, trafficking is valid, what God is going to point me to most often is something that He's already equipped me with in my testimony. For example, my oldest son was damaged by vaccines. When it comes to the divide politically that's so challenging, I was raised in a very, very moderate household. And I was taught to think in this household. So for example, if Republicans had too much power, my dad would vote for the opposite just because Republicans had too much power. That's the kind of household I was brought up in. And then the third thing, trafficking. Well, trafficking, I don't have a lot that I can, on one hand, I have a lot that I can identify with. And I know that it's more than just girls getting kidnapped off the street in my town. I know that it's all coming to light right now through the court system, what's going on in the upper echelons of our society, how the pedophile ring's coming to light. This is huge and way out of my league. But on the ground, of course we can shine a light on it. Pro-life movement, is that something we cannot do it all. It all needs to be done. We cannot do it all. What is it that God is pointing you to? I mean, even nutrition, it's important that people learn how to eat the right foods. This is all like social justice. This is removed from the gospel in the sense that the gospel is the only one that Jesus, the gospel is the only one that can change anybody's life and heart. That is first, that's preeminent. So if you've ever gotten that confused here on my, what is she all about? So no. I believe that the light needs to shine beyond. If my light stays within my, let me put it this way. If theology is the only thing I'm going to shine my flashlight on, what difference does it make to the outside world? That's my basic premise. That is my That is where I stand. What good is it to the outside world if I'm not willing to take this light that has decided what I believe theologically and what I know about the gospel? What if it doesn't change anything else that I'm in contact with? What good is it to the outside world? Does that make any sense? I hope that makes sense. But it is not, social justice is not above getting the gospel out. It is an avenue on which we present the gospel further. Because ultimately, we understand, and like he said here, God has been favorable to me. This is a God thing. I was having this conversation with one of my friends. Yeah, a couple came over on Saturday, and we were discussing how when you go up against such evil, such darkness, there is no way you're making it out without the Spirit of God. There is no way you are not going to cow down to, is that the word? To bribery, to lust, whatever it is, to the sexualization. There's no way you will stand against that. There's no way. We don't have it without the Spirit of God. Because the higher you get, the harder it is. And so for those of us who are like, and this is what, you know, this is me most of the time. I'll just stay away from all of it. And I wanted to stay there. Really. I saw no benefit in becoming a leader. God had to do a massive, massive work in my heart. Because for me, people made their bed, they could lay in it. And that was really my heart attitude toward people. You know, and I grew up in that house where everyone was dumb. You know, it was, I know that sounds, whoa, you didn't have a lot of friends. No, we did not. No, we did not. We did everything ourselves. We hired nothing out. My dad is an attorney and an engineer. So he was doing it all. My mom can take apart a car and put it back together again. She could start her own construction company if she wanted to. She's amazing. She basically moved us from one house to the other when I was pregnant. And designed the first part of our landscaping in the front and put in a Japanese garden. I mean, this was how I grew up. I mean, I never was taught how to mop the floor because it was never good enough. We were mopping it again. But it was the extreme individualism. And so God had to, you know, break that down, because I was like, well, if they're going to be that stupid, then they can suffer the consequences. And fortunately, I'm in that. That is the awesome thing about it. I'm being sarcastic. Individualist, because we're unaware that we are in the same bathtub. So it's extra stupid. But when you're in the body and you're functioning as part of the body, and the body is heading off a cliff in one way or the other, leaders pull them back off the edge. That's compassion. That's empathy. But you have to go through first realizing that you are a part of this issue, which Nehemiah chapter 1 was a part of this. You saw that when he confessed the sins of Israel as if he was Israel. He had no way removed himself from the problem. And so as God works in you, works in me, and breaks down this ultra-individualism, which, you know, honestly, it scares me. Because it's a scary thing to make yourself vulnerable to the unknown in that area, and suffering from PTSD since the time I was in my 20s. I don't handle surprise very well. I don't handle being in an un, you know, I used to cry when I went to the cafeteria. I had a friend who, my roommate was a saint, because she understood, but I could not even go to a full cafeteria. I mean, it's like that I could deal with as much people as you might find in a small bar, and that was it. And that's all I could do. And so God really, 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 I mean, leadership was not in the cards. It wasn't in the cards. Because what do leaders do? They take the, all the problems come. All the problems come. And a leader has to decide what problem, when it comes to this, when it comes to serving God in a justice situation, they have to decide which problems they're going to address. And I don't think that we can opt out of it. He didn't opt out. I love God. They could. My love for God has nothing to do with the city. Nehemiah could have taken that stance. Absolutely. I'm right with God. Let it burn. We deserve it. No. And he is talking about a town. He is literally talking about a town with walls. He took his gospel and walked out with it. Right? He took the hope and made it seem to other people. That's all social justice is. That's all it is. It gospel's unmovable, unchangeable, real, changed my life. And when we seek justice with it, we just take it out into the open. And we let the light shine for others to see. But it comes with opposition. And we'll keep going. Then they said, "Let us rise and build." So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" Opposition is coming, and opposition is going to look like a good case. Just give up. It's already set. It's already settled. Something like that. What are you doing? Trying to raise a ruckus? Something like that. You bring up racism in your church? Systemic racism? Are you trying to mess things up around here? You're probably on the right track. Don't take it immediately as a sign I'm on the wrong track. Because for me, yeah, I had to learn this lesson. It was a hard lesson to learn because every time opposition came up, I was like, whoa, I don't want any enemies. You are going to make enemies. You are going to make enemies. You are no better than Christ, and Christ was crucified. So let's go to some of those verses here. Here we go. I'm at 1 Peter 2. Am I? Yeah. Yes, I am. "You who are slaves must submit yourself to masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. For God is pleased when," and this is where I should have started, verse 19. "For God is pleased when conscience of his will, when doing what he wants, that good work that's set before you, you patiently endure unjust treatment." So not only is this coming, but God's going to use it to grow you. God's going to use it to bless you. These are crowns. When you endure mistreatment for his sake, you'll be blessed. I'm not talking about money. That's not what I'm talking about. He blesses those who are faithful to him. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good. Talking about good the good work. Even if it means suffering. Thank you, email. I need to turn that off. Even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you, for your example, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Now, what did he do? He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you were healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your soul. So that there's nothing that the opposition can bring you that is going to tear you out of God's hands. The worst that can happen is death. And even I was reading John Piper's devotional today, and he was talking about martyrs are numbered. And no, it doesn't. It's not the world's game plan to kill off their member, to kill off their side of the war. But in God's kingdom, martyrs have a purpose, and they have an eternal purpose, and they have a great purpose. And so that is the worst that can happen. Let's not be like Ahab, who was given the opportunity to do a good work. And in this case, there was an invasion, or there was going to be an invasion. And Ahaz refused to engage. So, to engage God. So, God is doing a good work. And he wants Ahaz to be a part of that good work. And Ahaz is like, nah, I'm not even going to give this another thought. Maybe there is something specific that God is putting in your life. He wants you to dress. He wants you to shine your light in that situation. And you're like, I'll do this. I'll busy myself over here. I'll busy myself with that. I'll make my 1,000th doily or whatever. Whatever it is. And God's like, keeps trying to push you toward a good work. And this was Ahaz. This was his response. We know he was an evil king. Verse 10, Isaiah 7. Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation, Ahaz. Make it as difficult as you want, as high as heaven or as deep as places. Show some faith, basically. And what does the king say? But the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Oh, wow, you sound so... Really, what he said was, I'm not engaging. I'm not doing this thing. God is just looking for a little sign of faith from you to do that good work. A little sign of, well, I don't know, but here... I do know that you've equipped me for something like that. I do know that my testimony lines up with that. I don't know what all you're going to do in that area, but I'm on board. It's way overwhelming, but I'm on board. I'm on board. Don't do Ahaz. I'm just not gonna get on board. Peace out.
Hey, thanks for listening. Join me for the next part of this series, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, usually, I'll let you know. Find Underground Crowds on Twitter or undergroundcrowds.com.